Thomas last week, the young 14-year-old preacher, talking to the youngest preacher, coming from the oldest preacher in the house. I was blessed to hear the good news of that young man. Let me tell you, some weeks ago I talked to him and I said, would you be okay with speaking in a service? And he was very humble, very concerned. He said, are you sure? I'm not sure I can do it. I said, you've got it. You've got it to do it. And I'm so glad that God has honored his commitment and his obedience to do that, because God has a call on that young man's life. He has a real call on that young man's life. And I'm glad to see God doing it. And 14 years old, preaching the word of God. Man, come on, man. Let me tell you. That's phenomenal. I also want to say that God is doing that with a lot of people. He's encouraging people. He's strengthening people. And I believe God has a plan for quite a few people amongst us. You know, I particularly think of Brother Luke back here, who's growing exponentially. He's growing in the Word of God at an exponential rate. Now, I'm amazed at what God is doing in his heart and in his life. 2 years ago, he would show up to church hungover. But now, God is moving in him in such a way. That's God, man. God is so great. He's so good. You know, you see these things God is doing in people's lives, and it's just encouraging to me to see that happen. Even people that like Sarah and Isaac and James and Nicola, people who've gone through challenging times, but God has brought them here, and they're being restored. And let me tell you something. There's something in these two couples that God is going to reveal and going to bring to the forefront. I can't wait to see it, especially that young man right there, Brother James. We have many conversations and we sit and we talk on a Saturday, and this young man has got God inside of him. And I tell you what, something's going to happen. I can't wait. You know, I'm excited. I'm waiting for it to happen. And then, you know, we have people like Joe and Claire. Let me tell you something, that God has taught them something through some challenging experiences in their life. He's taught them that he is able to strengthen you. Come on. And we need to take courage that God is able to strengthen us. No matter how weak we may feel, the Bible makes it clear, we feel weak, then definitely better believe that he is strong. And if we allow him, he'll strengthen us through the tough times that we go through. He's that kind of a God. He's good. He wants to make us strong. He wants to put some guns on us, some spiritual guns. He wants to put on us. I want to encourage you today. I have something to say to you. Talking about the benefits of the kingdom, because we have benefits that we yet to understand. And God has given us a lot of benefits. So in Psalm 103, let's go to Psalm 103. I'm sorry, I don't need to be carrying. Can you hold my comb for me, my God? You know, that's for my beard. Comb in the Bible. Psalm 1, oh, another comb. Can you hold this comb too, please? Combs everywhere. Psalm 103. If you got it, go to Psalm 103 with me. If you got it, say amen. Amen. Psalm 103. We're talking about the benefits of the kingdom. And then right after this, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 6. And these are all jumping off points. So I'm not going to necessarily exegete from any one of these scriptures, but I just want to jump from here. So Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. We know a lot about that here at the Wonder Life Church, don't you? He satisfies our mouths with good things. I can't wait till I get to New Orleans. I'm going after some serious Louisiana fried chicken. And he's going to satisfy my mouth with something good. Y'all don't like fried chicken then, huh? I know that's a fact for Joe. And Joe's up here saying, amen. Praise God for fried chicken. But he says, yeah. He says also, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, he says. And then Hebrews chapter 6. When you get there, say amen again. Not again, just say amen. Hebrews chapter 6. Beginning to read in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain often comes upon it and bears herbs and useful for those whom it is cultivated and receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things which accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same benefit to full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And in Psalm 103, it says, "Do not forget his benefits." Don't forget his benefits. And in verse 9 of Hebrews 6, it says, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you." Yes, things which accompany salvation. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would help me declare your goodness today, to declare it in a way that we can understand it, apply it, and live by it. We pray, God, for more things to happen in our lives than we have already seen. And we pray that Jesus will be glorified through every event. And God, we love you with everything that's within us. Now open up your love, God. Touch every one of us in this room, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want, like I said earlier, I just want to encourage us as believers that talk about some of the privileges afforded to us as believers. The text says in one of them, I think it's in Hebrews, it says that there are things that are made available. There are things that accompany us, that are attracted to us when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There are things that we didn't have before we knew him, but when we have come to know him, there are things, and I want to add, things that come from heaven that are attracted to you. In Psalm 103, it says, "Do not forget these benefits. Do not forget what God has given to you from heaven, what has come down to you from heaven." You know, there are benefits that we have when we are in relationship. Every Christmas, my wife expects something from me, and I expect something from her. Every one of us here, we have those kinds of benefits where before we were related to one another, we had nothing to expect from one another. But when we became related to one another, we could expect something without us even asking for it to come into our life. And I'm going to talk to you about these benefits which have come to you. And sometimes we always focus on the stuff that we're asking for and we're praying for, aren't we? We need to be thankful for the stuff that he has given without us asking. Because we definitely have benefits that have come to us that we haven't even asked for. Oh, yeah, somebody needs to say amen, because you're looking for something and God's saying to you, he's already given it to you before you even ask for it. He's given it to you. So I want to encourage you today, to the best of my ability, no matter how great or how great the benefits of your old life were, this new life brings about benefits that are far exceed what we considered as benefits in our old life. Because first of all, the benefits of your old life had its existence, or it's created here on earth. The benefits God has for you haven't come from this world. They come from another world. And because they come from another world, their power is greater than the forces that you face on this world. Come on, somebody. God has given you something that's bigger than the thing that you're facing. We were singing about a mountain just now. And the Bible tells me in his word, which he has given to me, that by faith I can speak to my mountain and it can be removed in the name of Jesus. He gave that to me. He's given it to each and every one of us. Amen. We have stuff that has come to us that he has given that is bigger than the stuff or the stuff that you're experiencing here on earth. So I want to help us today. I'm going to try anyway because I'm just so excited that I just, you know, I don't know about you. When I get excited, I can't hardly talk. You know, you get tongue-tied and you just get so excited about what God is doing in your life. And I feel something, and I feel something for you. I was going to share a message about being a father, like our Father in heaven, because I was here last Sunday, and I wanted to talk about being a father. Because after all, I'm the oldest man here, and I guess I'm the father of this house. So I wanted to talk to you like a father. But instead, God dropped this into my heart and said, they need to know first that I have benefits for them. Because everybody sometime in their life, and sometimes people become frustrated with their life because they're looking for something, and they're not grateful for what they've already got. And we need to learn to be grateful for what God has already given us. Because he has given us more than we can really imagine in our own minds. He has given us so much. And so he wants to encourage us of that. I believe it. We have benefits that exceed this world. For instance, our health plan is greater than anything that NHS can give us. Or anything that we can purchase life insurance or medical insurance for in the United States. Our health plan from heaven is better.
Amen. Amen.
Some of y'all don't really grab hold of that. Because maybe you've gone through an experience that you didn't see him do or bring about this in your life. Can I tell you? Your experience is probably an exception because God has a plan for your life. Can I tell you something? That what God doesn't do, I want you to look at it and say he can't do it. Just say he will do it. Because it may not be done now, it may not have been done here, but I guarantee you in the world to come, it's going to be done. You may not have received your healing now, but I guarantee you won't take that with you to glory. You will be healed. If you haven't been healed now, get ready because your healing is coming. Come on, somebody. I know y'all hear me. Y'all so quiet this morning. So we have a health plan. John 3:12 says, beloved, John chapter 1, verse 2 says, beloved, I wish all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And in Psalm 103, we just read, for he forgives all our sins and heals all our sicknesses. And he is quick to forgive sins and he is quick to heal. Listen, this is talking about the stuff that accompanied us sicknesses that was introduced to the earth from sin. In the Garden of Eden, there was no illnesses. There were no sicknesses when he created an Adam and Eve. But the moment there was sin, sickness came. Now listen, I have high blood pressure. I have diabetes. But let me tell you something. Even though I haven't been healed, that doesn't stop God or nor speak bad about his ability to heal. All I know is I'll keep praising him. And when he wants to do whatever he wants to do, he'll do it in his time, not my time, but his time. But I'm going to tell you something. It'll be the perfect time. Amen. In the Bible, it talks about a young man that was sitting at the beautiful gate and was crippled. And he sat there and he said, here comes the Peter, James, and John, and they look at him, and he's begging, and he says, a silver gold I don't have, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Isn't that what it says? That text, when it says beautiful gate, that translates as timely fruit. That man's healing came in the right place, at the right time, with the right amount of people around to give glory the max to God with the maximum amount that it can be. Can I tell you that maybe God is just waiting to do something that's going to maximize to some people who he really is? Yeah. See, I was crippled. I was born crippled. And they told my mother that Vince will never walk. He will never, ever walk. It's not going to happen. He will have crutches. He'll never be able to walk. And my mother said to the doctor, thank you very much. But I know somebody, you know, I know a man who can. And she prayed for me, and glory be to God, because I have a mother of faith. I'm standing here, and it doesn't look like I have much problem walking. In fact, I've been doing this for 62 years. So something is maybe wrong with the diagnosis of the doctor. Maybe it wasn't wrong. But I want you to understand that you serve a God whose power exceeds the power and diagnosis of a doctor. It may not have happened yet, but in God's time, he will produce beautiful fruit. Okay? He's our Father. Amen? Oh, boy, this is crazy. So, he has a better health plan. He has a better financial portfolio for us. He's got a better financial portfolio for us. The Bible says, Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world that dwell in it. Colossians, why is that he has a better portfolio? That's the first thing. It belongs to him. Secondly, Colossians 1:16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. It's all his. He can move it where he wants to move it to. I've been concerned about not having enough money for the finances of our local church building. And we're concerned about the renovation that we're going to do at Biggles Way. Let me tell you something. If I don't have the money, he does. And he knows where to move it to so it can be what we need it to be at the time we need it to be. Come on. Some of you are concerned about your financial situation. My Bible tells me we serve a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can move it to where he needs to move it. He can put it where he wants to put it. Come on, somebody. You need to hear that. Amen. Charlie, amen. Help me. You know, don't go to sleep on me. Help me out. I'm struggling up here. I'm getting... batteries on my lap, my tablet's about to go. And I'm sitting up here saying, God, what am I going to do? He said, don't you worry. I'll talk for you. We have a better career plan than anything that we have benefits. We have a career plan. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He has a career plan for you and I. While we're chasing after a career plan established by the world, can I encourage some of you? God's career plan will pay off far better than the career plan of this world. When you go for it and go to it for God, he'll make it happen for you like you never thought it could. Hallelujah! He'll do it. Oh, stop screaming, Vince. We got visitors, Vince. Stop screaming. People looking at you like you're crazy. I assure you, my dear, I'm not crazy. She said, I know you aren't. Amen. We have a career plan. And the great thing about that career plan is nobody can duplicate it. God created a plan for you, so only you could do it. I don't have to compete with nobody for my plan because it's my plan. I don't have to compete with Mikey for his plan because it's Mikey's plan. Nobody can beat you or be better than you at being you. Okay. I better hurry up because I'm going to lose power soon. Oh boy, y'all got something else this morning. People are even worried about looks. They're worried about how they look. And can I say to you, one of the biggest challenges with the medical community today is the fact that there is a, a, more, what I want to say, more self-harming that has taken up somewhere around about 35-40% of the medical fields, of the hospitals, NHS's resources. It takes up about 35-40% of their resources. Can I tell you, can I encourage somebody here? I don't know if anybody has that problem, but I want you to know the Bible says he has predetermined that you be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what you look out here. Worry about how you look in here. Because that's the look that matters more than anything. If you don't have confidence in how you look outside, you can be confident of what's developing on the inside. Because the Apostle Paul said, I pray for you anyway, that you be strengthened with might and power on the inner man. The strength doesn't come from the outside. The glory doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. The Bible says, Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, somebody. Don't worry about how you look. Sometimes we get it in the mirror and we can't pull you away from the mirror. I am not looking at anybody. We look in the mirror. We're in the mirror and there we are looking at ourselves. I guarantee you, you look the same today as you did yesterday. But I guarantee you, if you're coming to Jesus, you're changing day by day from glory to glory. The inside of you is being conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. This changing. Are you with me? Oh, let me hurry up. Don't worry about how you look. He said it. He gave us his spirit to energize us while we're here. I'm so glad about that. He gave us his spirit to energize us. You know, there's a lot of people out here that believe, and the challenge is for us to not get caught up in our hard work. Because it's not so much hard work as it is the grace of Jesus Christ. So are you with me? Did you hear? In the Old Testament, they had the Levitical priesthood. And the Levitical priesthood, as they worked in the whole Testament, they had a linen ephod upon them. All of their clothing, their outer clothing, all of their clothing was made of linen. Do you know why? Because for them to sweat in the holy place would be unclean. I'm going to say it again. If they were to sweat in the holy place, it would be unclean. Which signifies God doesn't want your effort. He just wants your obedience. If you're obedient, you'll get the job done. If you're trying to work it through, it's just going to be a mess. Sweaty. Y'all pray for me because I'm about to lose power. I don't know what's wrong with my my tablet, but he wants us to be clean, not sweaty. Sweatiness doesn't produce what God wants. Sweatiness. Sweat will be all right when you're in the gym working. It's okay to get sweat like that. And recently I've been in there, and y'all know I've been posting some things on Facebook of how I've been working out and trying to grow my guns. And I've been sweating and building up my outer man. But that encouraged me to read that text in the Old Testament in Exodus 25 and Exodus 30, because I found that that's not the kind of work God wants. His work has to be spirit. You see, because if it's outside of his human effort, then it can't bring glory to God. The only way we can bring glory to God is through the spirit. Now, I'm looking for people to worship me. He said, who will worship me in spirit and in truth. Not human ability, but spirit. Okay. Lord, help me. Don't you go out on me. He gave us the spirit to energize us. Let me read this to you from the Message. Oh, thanks. Come on, y'all need to applaud that brother right there. Hallelujah. Look, let there be light. Let me read this. Romans 8, 9, 11 from the Message Bible says, but God himself has taken up residence in your life. And you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience the life of God's on God's terms. Come on. You yourself experience life on God's terms. Isn't that what he said? He said he wants us to have abundant life. Listen, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Keep you in a limited place. But the Bible says God has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Somebody say, we is tearing down the limitations on your life, and he is breaking you out into a freedom that you never known before. Because let me tell you something, beloved. This may be revelation for some of you, but let me give it to you anyway. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants the best for you. Boy, I tell you, I thought y'all was gonna go crazy when I told you he loved you, because normally that's what people do. So that must mean that you, yeah, thanks. He loves me. Yeah, good. Y'all didn't get it like I got it. I almost went crazy this morning when I know he loves me, but I realized it fresh and new that he loves me. And so, whatever struggle I struggle with, how many of you sometimes you struggle with stuff? And you condemn yourself, you put yourself in a place of condemnation. See? Yeah. You know, you see, the enemy wants you to be in that limited place, that place of condemnation. He wants you to look at your stuff. He wants you to keep looking at it and say, ah. And then you start telling yourself, I'll never be anything profitable for the kingdom. Because look at my stuff. Can I tell you the devil is a liar? Because it's while you're going through your stuff that God wants to change and transform you. Can I tell you, don't hide your stuff. Let him see it. Don't try, because he sees it anyway. I don't know why we think we have to change our conversation when we come to church. Here we talk about it anyway. You know what I'm saying? We come and all of a sudden we come in the church and we're a different person than we were the other 6 days of the week. He sees us. The other 6 days, we're like, you get on my nerve. Yeah, I can't stand you. I wish somebody would do something with you. Then we come to church, oh, bless God. Isn't he lovely? He sees us. He sees us. But he's still gracious with us. Even though he sees us. Because he knows his plan. And although you might think you're doing what you're supposed to, listen, can I just tell you? He knows the plan, and the bottom line is you're going to be what he wants you to be. He is going to complete the work he has started in you. And I don't care how you come, you can come kicking and screaming, but if your heart's for Jesus, come kicking and screaming, because he's going to make you what he wants you to be. I'm kicking. Lord, the people get on my nerve. Yeah, but I died for them. Lord, they make me sick. Yeah, but how many people you make sick? Oh, yeah. You know, all of a sudden, we always think that we got it together, that we're the good ones and everybody else, you know, it's all those others. Even David had the same mindset. When he killed Bathsheba's husband and Nathan the prophet came to him, Nathan the prophet told him and explained the whole situation, explained it out clearly to him. And David said to Nathan, who is the man? Where is he? I'll kill him. And Nathan said to David, you're the man. David changed his language. He said, oh, have mercy. We're fickle, aren't we?
Amen.
We're fickle people. We're harder on others than we are on ourselves. I know I am. Y'all have to pray for this lady right here. I give her a hard time sometimes. I give her a hard time. She said to me one morning last week, can you make me a cup of tea? You know what I said? I made you a cup of coffee yesterday. It's your turn to make the cup of tea. Mercy. God said, wait a minute, Vince. Wait a minute. How many, count the cups of coffee you make for her, and then count the cups of tea she makes for you. I said, hey, Lisa, here you go. Here you go, let's go. Let me just move. He gave us. Also, we have a greater retirement plan that exceeds any retirement plan on earth. I'm going to get to a point in a minute. We have a greater retirement plan that exceeds any retirement plan on earth. The Bible says, Jesus said this to his disciples, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that awesome? There ain't no retirement plan on earth that can give you a place of residence for all eternity other than Jesus Christ. And he is preparing not just a place for you to live in, but he is preparing a life for you that far exceeds the life that you're living now. The Bible says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed from this body into a glorious body. We're not going to look like what we look like now. We'll never struggle with what we're struggling with now. It's all going to change. And we're going to be in his presence forevermore. Booyah! And I think that's just extraordinary. That he's going to change us in the twinkling of an eye. All the things that you have struggled with, all the pain, all the heartache, revelation of Jesus Christ, I think it's 21:22, says he's going to wipe away every tear from my eye. Every tear. There's going to be no more pain, no more suffering. We're going to be full of joy and ecstatic praise. We're going to be standing with the 24 elders around the throne saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is able to receive all glory, all honor. That's a retirement plan. Don't you think? That's the kind of retirement plan I want. He's got protection for us. I'm going to hurry up. Deuteronomy 32:10 says he's found in him a desert land and in a wasteland and howling wilderness. He led him about, talking about the children of Israel, and instructed him, talking about Abraham and his children. He instructed him, and he kept him as an apple of his eye. And then Zechariah 2:8 says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. He's talking about you. If anybody tries to touch you outside of the authority of God, it is like them trying to put their finger in the eye of God. And do you think God's going to stand for that? No way. He ain't let nobody put his finger in his eye, and he ain't let nobody unwarrantedly putting their hands on you. Because why? He is your father, and you are his child, and he's not going to anybody mess with you. Glory be to God. Jesus is our big brother. He's our brother. He's our king, but he's our brother. Let me tell you something. We moved from New York City to Charleston, South Carolina. And as I was in Charleston, South Carolina, I was coming home from school and they didn't like me because I was in New York and I was cool. I know, y'all know that story. Y'all know Southerners didn't like New Yorkers because we were cool. We come down, yo, what's up? We're cool. And so I was walking home and these guys were standing in front of our stoop in our house in Charleston, South Carolina, waiting for me, wanting to beat me up because they didn't like me because I was dressed cool and I was smooth and I was just so cool. And they wanted to beat me down. And one guy, he came up to me and we start scrapping. And next thing you know, there was a big boom. And my big brother came out of the house. Boom. And at that time, he was huge. My older brother was huge. He's not that big anymore, but he was like 6'4". And he was weighing about 270 at the time. And he burst open the doors and all those guys looked at him. And they kind of backed down. The crowd started thinning and out. They was like, oh, okay, check it out. Everybody was scattering. Can I tell you something? The Bible says, let God be exalted and your enemies be scattered. Because God is your Father. I don't care what comes your way. There is a Father who will protect you. And beloved, there ain't nobody bigger than God. Amen. Be encouraged. I'm going to stop screaming. I'm going to calm down. But I wanted to go, can I just take it very quickly, very briefly to Psalm 23. I'm going to close with this because I want to talk to you about something, a benefit that's very important in Psalm 23. And I'm going to close. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a great benefit right there, isn't it? In other words, you know, if the Lord is your shepherd, there should be no unwarranted desires in your heart. If the Lord is your shepherd, then what should be mostly the biggest desire in your heart should be to fulfill his will for your life. I shouldn't be chasing after anything that he doesn't want for me. If the Lord is my shepherd, he just takes away. I don't know about you, I'm content with Jesus. If God does nothing else for me, I'm content because I have him. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it goes on to say, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then he says in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, we often, that is an extraordinary benefit right there. Because it's not often what we think that benefit is about. Yeah, we think that our enemies come to us and it's with this, for us to be able to sit there and brag, look what I got and look what you don't have. And that's not what the text is saying. See, he says he prepares a table before me. Now, in old Jewish custom, whenever they had a meal, they would invite everybody that they thought was honorable and everybody that they honored greatly, they would invite them to the meal. And so there would be people, dignitaries coming from everywhere to sit at the meal. And often the meals were held outdoors. See, what God is saying is, don't you worry about it. I'm going to invite you to a meal so everybody can see me active in your life. Not so that people you can say or brag about what I'm doing, but I want to show people where I am, what I'm doing, and how I'm doing it. And where I am is sitting right next to you in their presence so that they could see. What I'm doing is feeding you. Oh, glory be to God. I am giving you what nobody else is getting. I am giving you what you need to bring about change and confidence in your life that I said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. And not only am I giving it to you, but I want everybody to see that I'm with you. I want them to know that I'm never going to forsake you. Beloved, there's a world out there who have lost hope. They need to see a people who have a hope in a God who's real and who's promised that he'd always be with us. They need to see that. And he prepares a meal right there. And they look at you, and you're sitting. You know, Mikey, like that. We eating our favorite Sunday roast pork, baby. And we're eating that roast pork, and everybody is looking at us. And I'm not looking at them. I'm looking at the pork, and I'm looking at the person who provided it. Because Miss Lily cooks our Sunday dinner. What God wants us to do is not look at your adversary. Don't worry about him. He's got the plan. Look at him while you're enjoying the meal that he's prepared for you. I don't want you to worry about what they're doing or how they perceive you. All I want you to do is enjoy what I put in front of you. What does that mean? What does that mean, Vince? He wants you to enjoy what he puts in front of you. You know, sometimes we're always looking for the more, and we're not satisfied with what we have. We're always trying to be more, and we're not satisfied with who we are. And God says, I don't care what's happening around you and who's doing and saying what they're doing. I want you to rejoice. He says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that my soul knows very well. I don't have to look and be worried about what everybody else is doing and how this is happening, how this is transpiring. All I'm concerned with is me and him. And he's feeding me. I'm enjoying the meal and we have in fellowship. While craziness is happening around me, I'm enjoying my time with him. And the thing that is so crazy, it can be right next to me, at my table, right in front of my table, right in front of my life, but it doesn't bother me because I'm sitting with somebody who's bigger than the stuff. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I am going to close now because y'all look tired. Are y'all hungry? Who's hungry? Raise their hand. James, I was hoping you were going to be spiritual, bro. I was hoping James was going to say, no, brother. I'm feeding on the finest of the wheat. Here we go. So when people begin to mistreat you and take advantage of you, you know that God is preparing a table. See, he said he prepared the table in the presence of his enemies. That means there were people gathering. So when you feel struggle coming your way, don't worry about it. Just think, God's preparing a table. This time is real difficult right now, but that's okay. God's about to make me a dinner. Or lunch. Or ham and cheese sandwich. But he's making something for me. Regardless of what's happening around me, the enemies that are gathering, God, they wouldn't gather if God wasn't about to do something. Okay. Amen. He said, in the close of that, Psalm 23 says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Can I just say this to you? When trouble comes our way, why do we always think the worst? He said, goodness and mercy will follow me one day of my life, 2 days of my life, next week, maybe tomorrow. He said, every day of my life, goodness and mercy. Those glorious twins, goodness and mercy, are going to follow me. goodness and mercy. Think about that. Goodness and mercy. The goodness of the Lord and his mercy. They're going to follow you. So when I mess up, I say, God, forgive mercy. It's saying, don't worry. Patting you on the back. I got you. When you're in need of something and you don't have what you need, the goodness is there. He said, don't worry. I got you. Amen. I'm worried about this building. I've been worried about this building for some time, but I'm not going to worry because goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. Some of you need to know that. Every day of your life. Amen. I'm behind you. Yes. Every day. Amen. Amen? Amen? Glory be to God. Goodness and mercy. Brother Robin, thank you so much. Thank you, brother. Oh, Miss Bonnie, thank you. I gave credit with the wrong person. Thanks, Bonnie. You're so kind, dear. Our fellow American. Father, I thank you for your goodness and I thank you for your word. Now I pray, God, that you would take this and put it in our heart to help us to remember the benefits that you have for us. Help us to remember that you have a plan for us and that you're going to fulfill that plan. In Jesus' name, amen.